church like this, and what is this, the first to a member of God? Don't you get the prayer request, dear God, and people with witnesses and sicknesses, dear God, that if you need to get in touch with them, and those that can't be here, church, you got to pray for them that they get married, dear God, and continue to reach you, dear Father, in your prayer life, dear God. Heavenly Father, we pray for brother Kaiser on from TBS, Lord, and then people that come in, dear God, and help us to assist which way we can, so we get saved, dear God, and grow in you.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Walter. Amen. Well, Galatians chapter 5 and Galatians chapter 6, we're going to start there. As we do, we're looking at the thought and the series, He That Is Spiritual. A lot of people talk about being spiritual. And we looked at this. What happened is we preached the message out of Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, now that word be overtaken in a fault is talking about somebody that has fallen into sin. Okay? Could be like Darian, the sin of eating too many hamburgers in one day. No, I'm just kidding. It's a falling into sin. Now that happens, that's more the rule than the exception in churches. People fall into sin. I talked to a preacher friend of mine. He was on the way to church. I said, what's going on? I want to check on something. He said, I just came from trying to keep a marriage together, and I'm putting my tie on in my car, and I'll be in the pulpit. If I mentioned his name, you'd know who he is. I said, are you ready to go? He said, I'm fired up to preach. But trying to keep a marriage together on Wednesday afternoon, just difficult things. And so there's a lot of people that are overtaken in fault. Somebody falls in sin. Now the next phrase says this: He that is spiritual. Now I preached this message about restoring somebody, but that the Holy Spirit kept drawing my eye and my heart to that portion, that phrase that says He that is spiritual. And I began to think to myself, you know, I don't know if you'd be able to do it because you're not very spiritual. I mean, I'm honest with myself. I don't know about you. You lie to yourself long enough, you'll believe it. You know, I've met some, when I was in school, there were some girls that thought they were pretty. And, you know, I'd say, hey, Dreamboat. And she'd look and I'd say, not you, Shipwreck. And, we just put them in their place, but we didn't know. But no, you met people. You met people before that so many times, you they tell themselves something long enough, they start believing it, right?
Amen.
Well, you know, this thing of being spiritual is not something to be taken lightly. Being saved is not to be taken lightly. When we're saved, there's so much. Do you understand, brother? You were talking about Brother Pelletier preaching a message on how hot is hell. You know, we just don't realize it. We just don't realize how hot hell is. And we don't realize what we miss and all that we have. When we're saved, we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And I begin to think about this, Brother Glade. You know, am I spiritual? What does it mean to be, you know? And then I began to think, maybe it's connected to what the, maybe I'd look in the context. What an idea, what a concept to look in the context, right? So I look back in the chapter before, and it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Well, what's fruit? Fruit is an indicator of what kind of tree it is.
Amen.
Your fruit is an indicator of what kind of Christian you are. And then I look back to chapter 5 and verse 16. It says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, if I'm going to walk in the Spirit, it's not just being indwelt by the Spirit, but it's being filled with the Spirit. So the premise, the foundation on which every message that we were preaching tonight, this through this series, is that if I'm spiritual, I'm filled with the Spirit. That means there's nothing else in me. Right?
Amen.
Now, Liz. She comes to eat. If she goes to eat, she looks on the dinner and there's a hair, she goes out to eat. She cannot eat if there's a hair on something. You know, I just flip it off and eat it, you know. Not the hair, just the, you know, it's her dog. It's her dog hair. But, you know, you but you look at a glass and there's a bug in it doing the backstroke. You do not want to drink that, right? Because there's something in it that you want all tea and no bug. Right? Are you with me? Well, here's the thing that we need to realize, and I got to thinking, Glade. God just wants us to seek to be filled with the Spirit all the time. Not just, and then I found myself doing this, and I told y'all, I was reading the fruit of the Spirit, Jen, and I was going down the road, and I said, okay, I'm going to be merciful, and I'm going to be this, and I'm going to be that. And I said, wait, and the Holy Spirit said, wait a minute, you can't do that without me. Because what the fruit of the Spirit, what it is, it's a byproduct of me being filled with the Spirit. And so there's so much in these fruits of the Spirit. I mean, you know, y'all ever get a real peach at the perfect time to bite into that dude? I mean, that doesn't just get into your mouth, it goes down your front. And I mean, you just say, heaven, I'm in heaven. You know, and you want to get a whole bag of them, you want to get some ice cream, put them on, you want to make peach pie, it's all good. But have you ever bitten into a fruit that just, I mean, you got a hold of one and it was just hard and you thought, something's wrong with this. And look, folks, we need to understand that something's wrong if our fruit's not right. If our fruit is not, if the fruit of the Spirit is not going on, it's not going on in here. And you got nobody to blame. I've got nobody to blame but me. Okay? And so in order, I want to nail this down. In order for me to have the fruit of the Spirit, I've got to be filled with the Spirit. And it's not getting the Baptist fundamental, independent Baptist fundamental, sword of the Lord, chick track, all these sayings. You understand what I'm saying? You all know the lingo. Everybody gets the lingo. Hey, man, I'm on fire for God, and I'm a fundamentalist. Blah, blah, blah. I'm going to charge heaven, hell with a squirt gun. I'm ready to go. And, you know, you're talking like Peter. Peter, I'll die for you. I'm not. Next thing you know, he's denying him. Mm-hmm. And isn't that the way we are? We say, well, you know, I'm a pretty good Christian. You start doing the comparison thing. Right? You start comparing yourself to people. Nowhere in the Bible does that say. It says, compare yourself to Christ.
Right.
That's the comparison. That's the standard. So being filled with the Spirit, fruits of the Spirit. Tonight I want us to look, get your Bible and get to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And hold your place there. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And I want us to think tonight about the fruit of the Spirit there in chapter 5. It says in verse 23, meekness and then temperance. We're on the last fruit of the Spirit. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we're going to look at this in a moment, but I want to give you some things by way of introduction. Let's get the definition of temperance. Let's get some foundational understanding here. One of these days I'm going to get it all together. That's what we say. One of these days, I wish I hadn't lost my cool and said those things. You know, somebody gets on our last nerve and we go off. Sorry, I'm late again. I guess I've never been very self-disciplined. Now, these statements indicate a lack of temperance. A lack of temperance. Let's look at what it means to be temperate. Every Christian... The thing that we should want to have in our lives is as a Christian to be controlled either by purpose, or a lot of Christians are controlled by their purpose or their problems. That's not what we want. I want you to notice, do you ever honk and shake your fist once and mutter words? You know, when somebody cuts you off and different things like that. Now we'll move on to that because Liz knows how I drive. But I want you to notice. I want us to think about a definition tonight. Are you ready? Say amen. Temperance, let's look at temperance explained. What does temperance mean? What does the word mean? Have you, anybody ever driven a vehicle with a governor on it? What's a governor do? What's that? It'll only let you go so fast. I'm not talking about a political governor. We're talking about a governor, and it regulates the supply of fuel to maintain a uniform speed. That's a technical term. It can be a powerful engine, but it's held back. The word for temperance, listen, the word for temperance or the phrase for temperance is self-control or self-restraint. Okay? Now, we're going to couple that with some things in a moment. Self-control means to taking hold of oneself, holding oneself in check, restraining oneself, having dominion over oneself. Someone said the virtue of one who masters his desires and passions, especially his sensual appetites. Self-discipline or control is not the same as godliness, nor the means to godliness. The most disciplined person would also be the most godly person. That's not true. Holiness would be a result of human works, and that's not what it is. So what is temperance then? It's genuine self-control. This genuine self-control that we're talking about here in this portion of Scripture, listen to this, is spirit control. Did you get that?
Amen.
It's spirit control. We got to take self out of it. It's a control that is among the qualities that give evidence that the Spirit's presence is within us. And that indicator that the Spirit's presence is within us is indicated to others, but also to us. You know, a lot of Christians have just given up, said, you know, I'm just not going to fight anymore. Well, you've been doing it on your own. You must allow the Spirit to fight your battle. You must allow the Spirit to fill you. So self-control. Acts chapter 24 and verse 25 says, "And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, 'Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee.'" Now, Paul mentioned temperance. Felix was a lost man. And he lacked this quality. His face the way he reacted, showed him that, and showed everybody that reads that. The unsaved operate as servants of sin and lack power to restrain self from sin. Did you get that? The unsaved operate, they're servants of sin. Paul warned us in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Says, "This know also, that in the last day perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud," and on, and it goes to incontinent. Undisciplined. No self-control. A lover of pleasure, of self and pleasure, eventually loses control. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 28. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 28. Notice what it says there. "He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down with walls." So here it is. The definition Webster would say self-control. But as we mesh it and look at the Bible context here, it's talking about spirit control. Spirit control. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain." Now, back then, you didn't get participation trophies. Everybody plays ball today, in baseball and Little League and everything, they go because they're going to get a snack at the end, and at the end of the season, they're going to get a participation trophy. You know, we used to, our kids played T-ball. Patrick and Benjamin played T-ball, and they played T-ball, and they said, we're not counting runs. And you know what the people in the stands were doing? They were writing down the runs. They get in their car and say, hey, you won. You had more runs than them. So the kids come back and said, I beat you last week. Little kids going, I mean, it's no. Listen, man. Back then, you ran. And listen, if you didn't, you had to run to obtain the prize. There's a lot that goes into that. And Paul's talking about, he's talking about the Olympic Games. There and the track and field events and all those. Let me tell you something, folks that go to those Olympics and ran in those Olympics, they had to train. Amen. And it was not for 2 days and 3 days. It was for years, and they had to not only keep their body, they had to train their mind. They had to train. They practiced stepping. We used to have this long distance run, and I prided myself in that long distance run because every time I was last, because I didn't like it. And our gym teacher was saying, and on this long distance run, when you're coming down to the end, you get this kick, and they're talking about kicking your legs as you run, and like you're kicking at the air, and that helps you to get that last push on. You see those guys lean forward and hit that tape. The people that do the shot put and the high jump and the swimming and all those things, that takes a body that can be honed to hit the mark, precision. Those gymnastics, I mean. The gymnastics, those people flip all over the place and have to land. Some of them land the wrong way, and it's not good. But they practice. The word, look at verse 25. It says there in verse 25, it says verse 25, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Not just some things, but in all things. Notice that word strive means to agonize or fight or struggle. To get control of oneself. It's total commitment. Verse 26 says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. What's he saying there? He said, I have a purpose in my life. I have purpose. Now, and look at verse 27. It says, but I keep under my body. In other words, he's not going to let him control his body. He's going to be in control of his body. Now, we struggle with that every day. Now, what motivated Paul? What motivated Paul? As we look at temperance expanded, what motivated Paul? Look at verse 24. He said, there's a prize. He said, I want to win a prize. And then verse 27, he says he wants to win a crown. He says, but I keep under my body and bring it in subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway, be disqualified. I want to win. I don't want to miss God's best for me. I don't want to come up short. That word castaway means not approved. Now, so this temperance means that I am going to be spirit controlled. As we look at temperance expanded here as we expand on it here in these verses in 1 Corinthians 9, we understand it's a fight. It's a battle. It's a commitment. It's a commitment. And then we are exhorted to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Look, 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5 says this: who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Notice what it says: wherein ye greatly rejoice, now, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. What it's saying is, while you wait, it's going to be a battle. I'm looking forward to that time when I see Jesus. But until that time, it's going to be a battle. Say, preacher, I fight the world, the flesh, and the devil, and it's in one person that I work with. Well, you need to understand that that person is there because God put them there. And the battle's the Lord's. So ask for the filling of the Holy Spirit. Paul described the war that rages. There's a war that rages within, and that's the battle. The battle's not out there, it's here. The commitment is here. You don't sign it on a piece of paper. The commitment is here. You can stand before the church and say, we're committed to be married to each other, but the commitment is here. The commitment to be married and stay married is here. Amen?
Amen.
Amen and amen. Now, notice that it's a commitment. And once we're saved. Galatians says in verse 5 and verse 17, Galatians 5, 17, listen to this. For the flesh lusts against the what? Spirit. That is a capital S-P-I-R-I-T. That's the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Now what it's saying there is either you're being controlled by you, your flesh, or by the Spirit of God. There's no in between. There's no purgatory in there.
Amen.
There's no cruise control. We allow the Spirit to have His way and control. The result is power to control the fleshly appetites. Once we're saved, we become a new creature in Christ. You go up to the Hershey Chocolate Factory, and they got places where they make the Hershey chocolate, and they just make kisses all day. They're the same kiss. Same, same old, same old, same old, same old, same old, same old. That's not the way what life is. One day you face a battle here. The next day you face something you've never faced before. And we have in the past 3 years in America faced things like we've never faced before. Our great grandfathers, the people that fought for the freedom in the world wars, would they turn over in their graves. I mean, you know, they'd say they're doing what? By the way, the rainbow is not theirs, it's God's.
Amen.
Amen.
By the way, the alphabet's not theirs either. They're going to take every alphabet. Now, I'm not speaking in hate. We love souls of men, women. Men that think they're women, women that think they're men. We love their souls. It's not a right to murder a baby. You know, I saw an article where a guy said, you know, abortion made me appreciate life. Something made me the man I am. I said, well, you weren't aborted, so what are you talking about? you know, drugs, or he's on LSD or something. You just read that stuff. You see that stuff, you think, what is are they talking about?
Exactly.
Somebody asked me what my pronoun was. I said, Bubba. Pronoun is smelly. Man, masculine. What's your pronouns? Wow. But those same folks that deal with that stuff, those things are no match. Listen, the world that we live in is no match for God and His power. And we are His emissaries. And being filled with the Spirit, we don't look at the person's sin, we look at the person's soul. We don't attack their sin. We love them to Christ. That's the difference. We've all been guilty of saying things we shouldn't. We should, but listen, those folks need to be saved. And God is saving folks like that. Go on Amazon, go on, look for people that have been converted, and you'll see that people have met Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ changed them and changed their lifestyle. But it was the Holy Spirit of God, conviction. Now, you have a choice, and I have a choice. And this is a battle. This is a battle that we all face every day. And that is to be under spirit control. Temperance. Well, I'm just going to give them a piece of my mind. Well, for one thing, don't give it all away because you only have so many pieces. But when you, you know, sometimes what you think in your mind and when it comes out different. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And part of the lust of that flesh is, hey, it is losing control. You can't take back what you say. You can't take back what you do. You can't take it back. Yes, there's forgiveness. Yes, there's way to get things right, but you can never put it back in the box. It's out. It's out. Now the kids, we had the Jack in the Box, and the kids were little babies, and we'd turn it, and it'd come out. And after a while, they'd look at it, and they'd say, I'm going to lean on it and not let it out. And they'd lean on it too late and it'd get out. It was already out of the box. And that's what happens. When we lose our temper, you can't go back after you've said things and say, you know, I didn't mean that. You wouldn't have said it if you didn't mean it. You say, preacher, something just came over me. No, something didn't come over you. You came over you. And the Holy Spirit needed to be over you. Amen? Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Say, preacher, if I died today, I know for sure I'd go to heaven. Christ is my Savior. Heaven is my home. Would you slip your hands up? God bless you. I'm speaking to Christians. God spoke to your heart tonight. We're going to play a hymn of invitation. You want to get alone with God, it's between you and God. If you want to do business in your seat, it's up to you. But we're going to pray, and Marissa's going to play a verse of a hymn, if God spoke to your heart. Father, thank you for your word. We pray that you'd bless the invitation now. And thank you for the opportunity to be filled with the Spirit and be controlled by the Spirit. In Jesus' name. Let's stand with heads bowed and eyes closed. Are you controlled by the Spirit? Thank you. Be seated. Get an offering plate. Let's pray for the offering. Father, bless the offering, the gift, and the giver. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We need some snacks for Vacation Bible School and different things. Keep looking at the board. They put those announcements up there. When they go on to camp? What day? Next week? Monday? Yeah. So pray for the young people that are going to camp also. Let's stand to be dismissed. Good to see everybody. Lord willing, we'll see you Sunday, all right? Darian, close for us, brother.
Heavenly Father, thank you for that message tonight, Lord. I was still thinking about it and apply it to our lives. Keep us all safe as we go back home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. See you later, Walter.